Good morning. Welcome to the Saturday morning devotion, encouragement, and prayer time from Impact Prayer Ministry. My name is Tom Lemler. I am a staff member of the Deerfront Church of Christ in South Bend, Indiana, as well as the director of Impact Prayer Ministry. Today we continue through the devotional journal, Almost Heaven, Devotions for the Journey Home. This is a devotional journal that I wrote several years ago with the idea that God has a lot to say about the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. And he typically says it in the context of an expectation that we're living like kingdom citizens now, rather than simply waiting to do that when we arrive in heaven. And so each of these devotions was written with an eye toward the future, but a very firm grasp on instruction for the present. And today's specific topic within the devotional is a home of innocence. I chose for the verses to kind of highlight today's topic the context of Jesus welcoming the children to himself after the disciples tried to push them away and kind of felt from the disciples' perspective that the children were a bother. And Jesus rebukes the disciples and says, "Do not hinder these children, for such is the kingdom of God." I chose that because children, and especially small children, have an innocence about them that God wants us all to live with. I don't know that there's any greater contrast between innocence and a loss of innocence than that story in the very beginning of the Bible of Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve, for a time, walk with God and walk with each other in the garden. The Bible says that they were naked and not ashamed. There was an innocence that has not been seen since, except for babies and small children. And then when sin entered the world, when the serpent comes along and questions the authority of God, questions the intentions and motives of God, and Eve decides that fruit that God said don't eat just might be good. And both she and Adam take of that fruit and they eat it, and sin enters the world. And innocence departs. All of a sudden, Adam and Eve realize that they have been walking around not only with each other naked, but with God. And one of the first acts of covering up when sin entered the world was covering up themselves in this attempt to hide their nakedness from each other and to hide it from God. Now, I'm not suggesting that we live in this home of innocence and we run around with no clothes. We live in that fallen world. But God instructs us to be excellent at what is good and to be innocent of that which is evil. And sometimes we spend so much time trying to understand the evil in our culture that, well, it overtakes us. It becomes more of who we are than not. Identifying evil to avoid it is one thing. Identifying evil so that we can study it is an entirely different thing. And I believe as God calls us to this home of innocence, that He wants us to reject evil. He wants us to keep away from it as much as we possibly can, that our garments would not be stained with the sin of this world. You've probably heard it before. Many of us who spend time preaching use the illustration. It's been said that those who track down counterfeit money spend their time in preparation studying real money. The idea is that there would not be enough time or ability or knowledge to study every possibility of how to fake it. But if you are so familiar with the real thing, if you know every detail of the real thing, then even the slightest change is going to catch your eye. You're going to realize it doesn't fit, it doesn't belong, it's just not right. But when you fill your mind with all of the possibilities of counterfeiting, it becomes a lot more difficult to sort through in the spur of the moment, especially the difference between what you've studied and what's real. And so many times, time and time again, I see young people that go off to college and they take this course in mystic religions or world religions or all of these other things. And they're always presented in a way that makes them attractive. And instead of living innocent, they stick their toes in the water, so to speak, and they eventually become accustomed to a world that's very different than the kingdom of God. In fact, they become so accustomed they begin to question the authenticity and the innocence of the kingdom of God, the exclusive nature of the kingdom of God. And how often do we want our children to have such a well-rounded education that we end up destroying their faith? Because they all of a sudden have given up innocence to follow the ways of the world. There's a lot of studies out, and typically, if you really follow the research, very one-sided stories, studies. Trying to determine how we can do things differently so that young people specifically are attracted to Christianity. And rarely within those do I see any aspect of living an innocent life, of living a life that is exclusive, set apart for God. And most of them, the conclusions are we need to be more accepting of other practices and lifestyles and this and that. That young people find the exclusiveness a turnoff. And we lose innocence. You see, God says this home that we're headed to is a home of innocence. This home that He has called us to as we walk on this earth ought to be a home of innocence. And yes, there's a balance. God says He sends the disciples and His followers out, He says, to be as wise as serpents and as innocent as doves. to not live in this fake innocence that lacks knowledge, that allows ourselves to be duped. He's not talking about being naive when he talks about being innocent. He's talking about living in such a way that we see the wonder of God in the midst of everything. Living in such a way that we see God's love for us so clearly, that we can be completely open and honest with Him, that our life is laid bare, it's naked before Him, because we've reached the point of having nothing to hide, reached the point of realizing we can't hide anything if we wanted to. You see, it's those days and years of living in the shadows that catch up with us, that steal our innocence, that our attempts of hiding from God really hides God from us. And when we hide God from ourselves, we are walking down a very dark path, a path that leads to hopelessness, to despair, to a great desire and even a need to cover ourselves up. But when we seek God, God's promise to His people throughout all generations has always been that if you seek Him, you will find Him when you seek Him with a whole heart. God's desire is that we live a life of innocence, that we're not stained by the sin, the pollution of this world, that we're completely open with Him, and that we learn to love what is good and right, and to reject what is evil. Would you spend some time today praying with me? Father, thank You that You are a God that indeed loves us greatly. Your desire is that we would again live in a home of innocence, where we have nothing to hide from You and we make no attempts to hide You from us. Father, as we live in this home of innocence, may we be wise in our understanding of what is good and right and pure and holy. May we reject all of the things that this world, our enemy, uses to draw us astray and to lead us down a path that eventually leads to destruction. Father, as I pray for the children in our homes, our churches, our schools, our communities, I pray that we would be very careful in how we lay out our expectations for them. We would be very aware of what this world is trying to do in stealing them of their innocence in relationship with You. Father, that we would teach them to simply seek You, to be fulfilled in the knowledge of Your presence, that we would warn and caution any delving into an intense study of other gods and religions and ways of life. Rather, that we would direct them in a path that fills them with the knowledge of goodness and truth. And Father, may we live life itself in a way that we are so filled with the truth of Your Word that we have no interest in other ways of life that people follow. And may our innocence in regard to the things of your kingdom be such that it's attractive to people. May the faithfulness by which we walk fill us with such courage and boldness and contentment that the people around us are wondering how to find that. Father, may we be very clear about the dangers that exist from seeking out to have our eyes opened to the knowledge of good and evil. And rather than studying that which is unknown, rather than studying that which is evil, may we spend more and more time walking in fellowship with you, being filled with your presence through your Spirit. Father, as we prepare this season to celebrate Jesus, may we always know that this birth, this baby we celebrate, this innocence of new birth is ours to be had as we live as innocent children in your kingdom. Oh, Father, today, may we live life in such a way that we are filled with great and exceedingly great joy. And may that joy come from the innocence of a little child. Our innocence of being your little child. And Father, may that innocence fill us with a contentment that this world cannot steal, a contentment that we refuse to give away, a contentment that fills us with a satisfaction that draws people to see Jesus in us. And Father, as we live with that contentment, may we be very deliberate in lifting up Jesus in as many ways as we can, so that many would be drawn to Him. It's in His name that I pray. Amen. This has been the Saturday morning devotion, encouragement, and prayer time from Impact Prayer Ministry. If you're looking for a place to worship with others tomorrow, you're welcome to join us at the Deer Run Church of Christ, either in person or online at drcc.net, or hunt up the Deer Run Church of Christ Facebook page or broadcast there as well. But wherever you worship, it is my prayer that you worship God, not just this weekend, but with your entire life, in spirit and in truth, in the innocence of a kingdom citizen. Thank you so much for joining me today. I do pray that your day is greatly blessed by God, so that you can be a blessing to others. Have a great day.